joy to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We especially welcome today Beth Coleman, who is sharing her considerable talents with us, and we so appreciate your ministry here today. If you would like to order a daily text, this is the last week to do so. There is an order form in your bulletin, and you can deposit it in one of the offering plates as you leave today. For fellowship, we hope that you will join us for a time of fellowship on our lawn under the maple tree on the side of the church after church today. And we hope that you will return here at 3:30 p.m. We will be having the memorial service for our dear Ann Glabe, who was a member of this church and a beloved member of the Ephraim community. Would you stand with me as we sing our opening hymn, number 470, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Join me in the responsive reading from Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made.
The Lord is faithful in all his words, and gracious in all his deeds.
The Lord upholds all who are fallen, and raises up all who are bowed down.
The Lord is just in all his ways, and kind in all his doings.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of all who reverence him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord watches over all who love him.
Let us sing hymn number 460, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed in him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self and its practices, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Our second scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There are four little words that can wreak havoc on relationships, and those words are, "It is not fair." Have you ever heard those words? "It is not fair." I remember as a child saying those words, especially when it came to dessert time. And somebody's dessert was more than mine. "It is not fair." The older children will say to the younger, "It is not fair. You're getting away with a lot more than I did." And the younger will say to the older, "It is not fair. You have more privileges than I do." But it's not confined to kids. We adults say it an awful lot, don't we? "It is not fair." And usually it isn't. Have you ever been passed over for a promotion? Or someone favored over you? And it was not fair. It can dismantle the strongest of relationships when we employ those words, "It is not fair." That's why there's an industry called estate planning. Because those who want to confer some blessing on family or community know that after they shuffle off this mortal coil, fights can ensue. And fairness is the biggest fight. Is it fair? And so people try to maintain some equanimity so that everyone can say it's fair and stave off those fights. In the ancient world, they had what they thought was an elegant way of dealing with succession, dealing with inheritance. If you were a boy, And if you happened to come first, you got the lion's share. And all the others in the pecking order had to rely on you. So if you were firstborn, that was great. Also, the eldest had the greatest responsibility. So there was some give and take, but I'm not sure the younger siblings saw that. All they saw was the older kid got everything. Now you can imagine some of the conflicts. We have them written in the Bible. You remember the twins, Esau and Jacob? Esau happened to come first, and so Jacob swindled him out of his inheritance. And then Jacob ran away to another family member, a family member who should have taken care of him, but that family member was as big as a crook as Jacob. And so Jacob and Laban were constantly at odds over stuff, over material gain. And do you remember what we have now used as a delightful benediction? We call it the mitzvah benediction, the Lord watch between me and thee when we're absent one from the other. It was not said in love. The two of them said to each other, the Lord watch between me and thee. In other words, God's going to watch you, you crook. It's very tough on a relationship when things are not fair. And so I can understand the young man in the story who's listening to Jesus' teaching, but all he can think about is how unfair it is. Apparently, dad has died, and the older brother might not be handling the inheritance the way he should. And so this young man goes to Jesus, and he's complimenting Jesus because this was the custom in those days as you went to the religious authority and asked them to arbitrate. And so he asked Jesus a very reasonable question. Be the arbitrator. Tell my brother what to do. Tell him that this is not fair. And of course, we know Jesus turned him down and then told him a little story. And the story was that there was a man of wealth who was already impoverished and did not know it. This man had accumulated so much and he had pushed all his relationships aside. And we know that because when he had a really good problem, he had such a bumper crop, he didn't know how to handle it. What should have happened is if he had family, he would have gone to his family and asked their advice. But there was no family. Well, in the absence of family, then you go to the elders at the gate and you ask them for advice. But he must have pushed all these people away. And so who did he ask for his advice? Himself. Self? What should I do with all this wealth? And then he decided what to do, and he patted himself on the back, and he said, I know what to do, and this will be a great thing, and now I can say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry, and God said, you fool. And the most poignant part of that parable was the very last thing that God asked the rich fool. He said, the things you have prepared, whose will they be? In other words, he had no one to leave his legacy. He had no one to leave that to because he had taken care of himself above all others. I believe the message to us is, when we're looking at what is fair and what is equitable, we have to remember that the relationship should trump whatever the fairness is. I wonder how that young man handled things once he went home. In 10 and 20 years, are we going to remember why we won the argument and lost the relationship? The relationship should be the most important thing. I remember when I was a newlywed, my husband was owed a fairly decent sum of money by a family member, and the family member was not quick in paying it back, and I was getting really annoyed because we could use that money. And I spoke to a widow who was quite wise, and I thought she would understand my dilemma because she was a great money manager. She knew how much she had to the penny, and she had all of her ducks in a row, and I so admired her. And so I told her the story and how annoyed I was and how could I motivate my husband to get his relative to give back the money. And she recounted to me that she had a similar situation in her own family, but the amount of money was a whole lot more. So I thought, oh, this is great. She's going to give me good advice. And she said, and you know what I did? I said, what? Absolutely nothing. She said, because I valued the relationship more than I valued the money. She said, if you keep pushing, you're going to distress your husband. Is that really worth that money? A very valuable lesson. Even when it's not fair, our relationships are so important. If you've been watching the news, you know that Kentucky has been devastated by floods. And there's a story about a 17-year-old girl who was caught in her home in this flood. And as the flood waters are rising, she grabbed her little dog and she was trying to figure out a way to rescue herself and this beloved pet. She managed to swim out to another area, another structure, and she sat on that roof until help came. She sat for about 5 hours with her, clutching her little dog, and her family was in the next house. They could see what was happening, and they're calling out encouragement to her until she was rescued. And after she was rescued, the father called her a hero, and he said, you know, we lost everything today except what was most important. What is most important in our lives? The Apostle Paul gives us a very good rule of thumb. He said, seek the things that are above. What he meant was seek kingdom values, seek love, seek grace, seek compassion, seek all of those things that make life worthwhile. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seek the people that God has put in our lives, those gifts of God that sometimes we take for granted. Seek them out so that we can live good, full, wonderful lives and have a legacy to pass on to the next generation. Amen. We come to that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We're so grateful that Ram is home and doing so much better. We are grateful to hear from Kate. Her cancer surgery went well, and she's doing well. We want to remember in our prayers a young lady named Tara. Tara is undergoing surgery for brain cancer, so please remember Tara in your prayers. And those with chronic illnesses, Ed, Barbara, and Kevin, Fran. We also want to remember the people of Kentucky and St. Louis and the people of Ukraine. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that your mercies are new every morning, so grateful for the people that you put into our lives, so grateful for those relationships that you entrust to us. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to draw ever closer to you and those whom you've given to us. We ask that you would be with Ram. We're so grateful for his life and for his recovery. So grateful that that Kate is doing so much better. We ask that you would be with Tara and help her as she undergoes the surgery, that you would grant to her your strength. For those with illnesses, Ed, Barbara, Kevin, Fran, that you would grant to them your strength. We ask that you would be with the people of Kentucky and St. Louis as they rebuild, as they bury their dead. as they seek to build each other up. Be with our friends and neighbors there. And we ask, O Lord, for the people of Ukraine and all those in harm's way, that peace would reign in that region. We ask also, Lord, for Anne's family and friends who will be gathering later this afternoon to say a final goodbye. We thank you for her legacy of faith, and we ask that you will keep them in your care. We ask all this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the service has come to an end. Go into your week serving your Savior with love, delighting in the life God has given you. God be with you until we meet again. Amen.